This
Star,
conference will now be recorded.
we do have a verification of quorum. We have all board members here. Do we have a flag to stand and do the Pledge of Allegiance?
No, we don't anymore. We had one at one time, but the Boy Scouts borrowed it back.
Okay, we'll pass on that then. Can I get an acceptance of the, well,
the quorum?
Well, we already have a verification of quorum.
Acceptance of agenda.
Yeah, can we get an acceptance of the agenda?
I recommend that we.
Lori and I had a request that 14 and 15 be changed, swapped. So 15, it becomes 14, 14 becomes 15.
Okay.
Make a motion that we accept the agenda as provided.
Well, with the swap.
Yes.
Okay. So Robert makes a motion. Karen seconds it. All in favor? Say aye.
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 It carries. Okay. Treasurer's report. Do you want to provide that?
Okay. At our community bank, we have a balance of, this is as of 6/30/22. Okay, at the beginning of the month, in June, at the end of June, we had $879,221.83. And then we had deposits of $324,678.91. Transactions were on this account was $263,648.07. So our ending balance with Community Bank is $1,142,869.90. Our Bank of Oklahoma.
Before you go to that, can I ask a question?
Sure.
Just for clarity. So is that amount for the deposits? I think, does that, doesn't that, I think that includes
well,
a tax
four,
check, isn't it?
There's four items. There's four items that is included in that. So that growth, that four items that credits totals the $324,000.
Okay.
680.
But I think part of that was like a tax deposit.
Yes.
A revenue.
Okay. Okay. In our money market, we had our total. Okay, we had a starting balance of $802,646.23. This is part of this is the money market account. So we had we earned interest of $164.84. So our current balance in the money market account is $802,411.07. And then the Bank of Oklahoma, we have on deposit there, our starting balance was $21,991.12, and we made a whopping 36 cents interest.
Yes!
I mean, we're just rolling in dough there. So our ending balance currently is $21,991.48.
Wow.
I do not have a gross of what our total assets are. I apologize. I don't have a gross.
If you add those numbers together.
Right. If you add this 800 to that other 800 and then the 21,000, I think the ending balance is going to be 1,142,869.90. That's what I think this. Because that's
I don't know. I have to calculate.
Actually, I'd have to calculate that. I'm not sure on that. So don't quote me on that.
You just have to take those three totals and total them.
Yes.
So. Anybody have any questions or?
I was not here last week to sign checks. Patty and.
And Lori did that.
Lori
did the check signing.
So I was in Illinois, so.
We did that and then Mary Ellen provided the reconciliation and I validated the reconciliation. I have the stuff here and we'll deposit. I mean, we'll put that in the files at the Elizabeth Library.
Okay.
Any questions? Okay. Can we get an approval of the minutes for June 22, 2022 meeting? Those were sent to the board members.
I've got a very small correction.
Sure. Okay.
It's a small one, but
okay.
Page 2, item 10. Inform the board a request was sent to Mountain States. It's not Mountain States anymore. They changed their name 5 years ago.
That's my fault because I Googled it because I saw them call. I saw something else and then I was like, but I Googled it was still in there. So, okay. So it's
just
Mountain.
It's just Employers Council.
Okay. So correct.
Expanded to the Plains.
So Employers Council. Actually, I think they have. They even have one of California. So
I know they. That's right. They do have one in California.
They do. They have a bunch of them.
So it's in two places.
So we can make that.
Yeah.
I added Mountain States. You put Employers Council, but when I went through them and reviewed them, I added Employers Council. That Mountain States
well,
because.
Okay. Then you.
You have to change your resolution too.
You're going to want to also change the date. The appointment scheduled for Monday, May 23rd, 2002.
Okay, hold on. So change.
Oh, 2022.
Yeah.
Sorry.
If you guys can go back in town, time, look on item 10.
Thanks for catching that.
Let me see what
you do. Yeah, I put a 0 instead of a 2. Okay. It was a fat finger.
And so it's Employers Council.
It should be just Employers Council.
And change it to 2022.
And that's all I've got.
Okay.
Got a motion?
I would make a motion to accept the minutes as amended.
I would second that.
So we need to vote on that.
All
separately.
In favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries.
And then we need to vote on the first motion to accept the amendments.
Can we vote on the first motion? Well, somebody needs to make a motion, right?
To do what?
Well, okay. We just need to go back to the first motion to accept the minutes because
yes.
we just voted on the change. So we just need to go back and call a question on the first motion for the minutes.
Can we make a motion then?
If you don't make a motion because there's already a motion in order.
Okay.
It just needs to be
voted on.
I'll second that first motion
okay.
as amended. And then we can do a call a vote. Is the
okay.
correct way to do it.
This is all.
It's Robert's rules.
Right, and you're very astute at that, but I'm trying to follow it.
Okay, what's happening is Lori had an amendment, and so we accepted her corrections by a motion. That was the second motion.
The first motion was to accept the minutes, and then she said, wait, I have a correction. So then we have a motion for the correction and an approval. For the correction. So now we need to go back and have a second motion on the minutes. I mean, on the first vote, right? And then approve or deny.
Right. We're voting on the first motion now. We're back to that first motion.
So what you just did was this corrective motion.
Yes.
Right. Now he's seconding the initial motion to adopt the rule.
Yes.
Adopt the minutes.
Yes.
So
would it be easier if we brought this up? Originally.
Well, the person making the correction there, there's not a, you'd have to ask, she would have to ask for, is there any corrections to the minutes before?
I should have asked the question. Sorry.
Might be the better, easier way to do it. But.
I'm trying to do it very, very accurately.
Sure.
And I don't want to mess it up.
Sure.
But this is like a
Henceforth, we should probably ask if there are any corrections.
Any corrections? My apologies.
Before we make a motion to accept.
Right.
No, because we'll have to go through a whole different process to backtrack.
We just, all we need to do.
I'll help right after.
All we need to do now, all we need to do now is just vote on the first motion.
Okay.
All in favor of the first motion, say aye.
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 Sorry for confusing everybody.
It carries, motion carries.
Are we voting on the second one now?
Nope.
No, we already did it.
We did that in the middle, it's like a little sandwich.
Okay, well, who were the people that said motion one and motion two?
Robert did the first.
Robert, Alan was on the first one we did, Alan was first and then Robert.
No. Robert made the original motion to accept the minutes. That was seconded, but then before it was voted on, she made corrections. So we had to do an amendment. I made the motion to accept the amendments.
Okay.
And that was seconded.
By Rob.
By Robert.
Okay, so the first one didn't have a second motion.
Until after we finished the vote.
For the first one.
Yes.
So then the second motion, right, I mean, the second one, right, that we, I think Robert did the first, you did the second, and we all approved.
Yes.
So just, oh, I'm gonna write that down.
Sorry for making it complicated.
On both times, the first motion was approved, but was done by Robert, right?
Yes.
Yes. Just know this, on both, we'll work through it, but when you write it.
Call one of us, we'll watch it.
Yeah, but just make a note that in both motions, Robert was the first, Alan was the second. And we all.
Right.
All were in favor.
In the future, we'll clear the chaff before we call a motion.
Yes, please. We'll do that. Sorry, Karen, to make it more confusing for you. Okay, branch managers reports, do you want to start? Who wants to start?
I'll go ahead, okay. Got lots of items, I'll go really fast. Summer reading is drawing to a close on Saturday. We've had a really good summer reading. So Gen Y up north, we've read 75,032 minutes together. We had 205 people register. They're going to have separate celebrations on Saturday. Here in Simla is an ice cream social from 12 till 2. In Elizabeth, we're going to have a popsicle party from 10 until 12. And then we'll move the party down the road and we'll have another popsicle party at 1 p.m. until 3 p.m.
In Kiowa?
In Kiowa, yeah. If any, I encourage everybody to look at the minutes, I mean, not the minutes, the Facebook page. There were a couple of events that Jen did that were just amazing. One was the foam party. Foam party was a new thing to me. I didn't know anything about that. And the pictures are a hoot. The kids.
They were cute. They look like the kids were having so much fun.
So much fun.
Thanks for doing that. That was really great.
It was the other Jen.
I'm Jen R.
Oh, it was the other Jen Yada. Okay.
It's North Jen.
North Jen, okay.
It's a South Jen.
Well, thanks for all you do too, Jen, because I see all your postings and I think they're great, so thank you.
I'm slow Jen.
So anyway, a good summer reading, very good summer reading. I had the first, since I've been here, which is since March of 2019, first complaint about a book. And I kind of walked into it. I kind of thought it might happen. It's an easy book. It's called The Big Bath House. And it's about a little girl who goes and visits her grandmother in Japan, and they go to the bathhouse together. And in Japan, all bathhouses are segregated. So she goes to the women's bathhouse, and there's lots of naked ladies in the pictures. And a patron pulled that off. I actually am afraid it was her little boy that pulled it off. And she went, whoa. It wasn't offensive. It wasn't offensive. Mm-hmm. And it kind of depended, I think, on your outlook. But
it was more about body acceptance and that kind of thing. It was different. It was a wonderful story.
And she explains it at the end. I wish
if the explanation was at the front of the book, you'd probably have a different perception of the whole entire book, because she talked about traditions and what have you. So it was interesting. We both agreed if that had been in the front of the book, it probably would have set a different precedence.
Talked about old bodies and young bodies and thin bodies and round bodies. It was terrific. And the pictures were cute. I mean, it was darling. But that's the problem with buying books with just reading reviews. So the first thing I did was quickly refresh my memory on our materials reconsideration process, which is in our right on the website in our not bylaws, but the operating
procedures.
Yeah, procedures. Actually, it's that's right.
Policies and procedures.
Yeah, the policy book. And we're very clear, and it says, you know, if you do this and you do this and you do this and you fill out this form that's attached to the end of this document, and it isn't. And that form isn't anywhere. And so I'm going to have to search through the admin's computer. I've got to do it when Mary Ellen isn't there because we can't work at cross purposes. And then I can check the old directors.
What is it called?
It's a form for the reconsideration of materials. And it's essentially, the patron would fill it out and bring it to their branch manager, and the branch manager would deal with it, and then it would escalate up if it needs to.
Right.
And I guess we're really lucky to have learned that with this very sweet book, because we know nationwide it could have been something a whole lot worse.
Mm-hmm. You bet.
So what we decided to do was not to throw the book out, because frankly we all liked it, but to move it to the adult collection and make sure that it was cataloged to read Japan social life and customs. Because it was funny, Janie is married to a gentleman who's Japanese, his family's Japanese. And she said, oh, I love this book. I'm going to buy it for my daughter for when she goes and visits our relatives in Japan. Mm-hmm. I mean, she loved it, but hard of your mom and a little kid pulls it off. So I called the mom and she was perfectly happy. I think she was kind of startled that we even did anything, but I had a long talk with her. And my next step is to find that dang form, because it's got to be in there and it's got to be online. It's got to be on the website. So that was.
Here's the section in the policy and procedures, but it doesn't say where the form is.
Yeah, that's what we were going to have to look.
It says the form is in the addendum.
I'll just say this, the policies and procedures in our handbooks is outdated.
No, I know.
And so, because I pulled off the new one today that Tim had given me like in October of last year. And does it show on that? Did you see it? Okay.
It doesn't seem to have changed much, really.
It wasn't. It was there was a couple of things we voted on and he put them in there. Okay. Yeah. And I can send you that so you can print it out and put it in your book.
So I just have to locate where there's a file for it, and then we can amend the.
So you move the book in the adult section.
Yeah, I think it's a matter of going through those two computers.
The nice part I can access those files, because it's in a separate section than the other. So.
And I know where the files are on the director's computer, so we can find it. But it was a moment of terror for me, because I thought, oh my God, this is what we all worry about. All worked out just fine.
So it moved to the adult.
If you don't find it, maybe you can go out to your listserv and ask people if they have one, right?
I mean, we know where it came from. We'll go back to where it came from and just customize it for us. We hired a new library services technician to work both in Elizabeth and Kiowa. Her name is Cheyenne Sanders. She had applied with us before and wasn't quite qualified for the position she applied for before, but is really qualified for doing this. And we're breaking her hours up between Kiowa and Elizabeth. She will have 20 hours. Then we added 10 hours to Elizabeth Erfman, who's been in the library system longer than anybody else. Mm-hmm. So she will have more hours, which makes her happy.
Is she still part-time, or does that make her?
No.
Still makes them.
When I talked to her, I said, you know, this is our limit. So it puts her at like 36. I think
so that's full-time.
26? No.
But she's 31 hours and below is part-time, but 32 and above is full.
I'll have to double check.
Okay.
But I know it wasn't, I know we didn't offer her benefits.
So then she's not really working full-time, because if she were, we'd have to do that. So 31 or below.
Okay. So that was, it was great. It was, we're very excited. Cheyenne starts on Monday.
Awesome.
We only had one applicant for the admin assistant job. It is a gal who subs in Elizabeth.
We did get one more today.
Oh, is the one that you sent me that was.
She just sent me her resume, and I've asked her to fill in the blanks. So she's doing that. And so we have a, she's a massage therapist.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yep. So I saw that and thought, that would be fine.
Yeah, we're like, well, you're hired.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Come on over.
Think about like your skill sets that you're looking for in terms of electronics and that kind of stuff.
Yep.
Did you get the note that I sent you about what Click said about where you could post?
Yes. And it made really good sense.
Okay.
And
that's what she recommended, because I said, well, what about if we put it on Indeed? Or
no,
if we
did look at 50,000, because people just use Indeed as a numbers game.
Yeah, so she said, don't do that. She said, don't do that.
I was really glad that she said that, because it was.
That came from Anna.
So what we are going to do is, this is just hard. This is one of the things about not having newspapers anymore,
mm-hmm.
that you don't find jobs for the classifieds in a local spot. So where do you find them?
I've been putting them all over. The admin assistant, starting last week, I started putting on every Elbert something.
Right, you should put it. That's the other thing she said. Put it on every Elizabeth.
Well, no, that's what I mean.
Like
I mean,
Elizabeth community.
County,
and
Elizabeth, every one of those I could. But a lot of them are these sell and swaps, and they don't let you post jobs.
Yeah.
And if you try, they kick them back. I tried.
Yeah. I tried with the Facebook page, and they kicked it back. But Nextdoor took it. And I got one response, and all it was a heart. And I thought, well, thank you, but this is coming.
I did tell somebody yesterday, some young person was looking for a job and wanted it local and wanted a small company. And I said, the library's hiring. So.
Well, the other thing that we're going to do, I think you guys may be ahead of us, and I know Kyle is in a better spot, but we don't have a bulletin board, a public bulletin board that people can see without going around the corner. In other words, you don't see our bulletin board unless you have to go to the bathroom. And so what we're going to do is add a bulletin board out front in the lobby, actually where the First Amendment is. We're going to move the First Amendment to the other side of the cabinet, and it'll be a locking one because there is a breeze in there, and it'll say jobs at the library. Because we do know more people come in who look at the website.
There is, and I thought I sent that to you, but I may not have, and I'll send it because I just was going through it yesterday. The hiring, the compensation equity hiring laws have kind of changed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they specifically talk about the postings, and this came from Employers Council.
Yeah, I already checked with Employers Council when I did Dells, and so I'm in compliance.
Okay, so they talked about posting those jobs like internally, right?
Yep.
And that kind of stuff, and how you have to do that. It was really, I mean, I thought, oh, okay, that's kind of different because I didn't know that. But if you haven't seen it, I mean, I think I sent it to you, but if I didn't, I'll send it to you.
I learned about it because Elizabeth didn't realize that we posted it. And we haven't been sending out like a district wide.
We have to do a company wide because that's something, you know, that is now part of the law.
Yeah.
And I hadn't realized that.
And I hadn't, I think I told you all about the other stuff, and I failed to tell you about that last February, because when I posted Dell's position, I didn't know if I could just promote from within. And so that's why I called Employers Council because HR law is changing constantly. Mm-hmm. And I think it was about a year and a half that law changed. And so,
When you had to start adding the salaries, there was some additional.
You have to list what benefits, how many hours, all that junk. So,
Well, it was a good
And they had a template too, and in that document. So I didn't know if you guys.
Yeah, I have that.
Okay.
It worked out all right. I mean, Elizabeth got the hours she wanted, and I learned something, and it worked out just fine. But it was learning experience. The thing that happened last week, which is very difficult, Elizabeth Erfman had a terrible tragedy. She went out her front door Wednesday morning and found her estranged husband dead in her front yard.
Oh my God.
And yeah,
I'm gonna get a card and have us sign it so we can send it to her.
My goodness.
So it's had quite an effect on us. First, but anyway, so we're all taking care of her and each other. We had an interesting thing happen. We have a patron who brought back a handful of books that smelled so bad of smoke that we couldn't put them back on the shelf.
Yes.
Now, we're aware of our big smoker patrons, but we hadn't had a book that was just so damaged that we couldn't put it back. So I put the word out on the listserv, and within 25 minutes, I had 20 responses on what to do with stinky books.
Oh.
Apparently, everyone has a stinky books story. I think I probably got 50 or 60 responses. So we're working on that.
I have a find a bud in a book, but I don't have a stinky book one. And the person trying to come back and get it. Said, do you have that book? And I said, sure, it's right here. But he didn't find it. So I threw it in the trash.
Oh, we're not that lucky.
Talking about a joint?
Uh-huh. Oh. No, just a bud. The actual stuck in there. The actual dried plant was just stuck in the book.
An unusual bookmark.
Very.
We also had one of our staff have COVID. She was our staff member, is our staff member who is most careful about not having getting COVID.
Oh, Lisa. Mm-hmm.
And so she got COVID visiting her elderly parents in Oregon. She realized as soon as, see how it works, she tested positive, then she had to test negative to get back on the airplane. So she was doing over-the-counter tests. She kept doing over-the-counter tests, but her first antigen test, she failed. So she was out 2 weeks.
Okay. And so make sure you record that on her time that she was out and what she was out for.
We've got it on her time sheet.
Because there's the health policy, right? Yep. The rules. So that gets paid. I mean, that comes out. It doesn't come out of her sick time.
But of course, getting.
And did she come back? Did she bring a negative PCR test to come back? Okay.
And she also the second one wasn't paid for. So we will. I told her we'd pick up the cost of the second one.
The second week. I think
the second test.
Oh, okay.
The first one was. The second one wasn't. So.
The first one was paid for, but the second one wasn't.
Was paid for by her insurance.
Oh, but the second one wasn't. Okay, that's fine since we require it. So
you have to get two PCR tests.
No, she wasn't. She didn't pass the first one. Okay. Even though she felt fine and wanted to come back to work.
Been there.
Yeah. One other small thing. Right after our last board meeting, I went to an employer or attended an employer's council webinar about one of the vendors of automated payroll. It was Paylocity. It was a great presentation.
We both actually attended that.
Yeah. And it was all of a sudden it was, this just might be the thing. And
their presentation was far more professional. They were much more knowledgeable. It was just light years beyond ADP and what they did.
And I feel like that's why it's so important that we'll give the requirements to, you know, multiple companies and let them come back and do a presentation because they'll be local people. I have an ADP local contact that Lori Hendrick gave me from, you know, the auditor. Yeah, Hendrick, the auditor. She gave it to me. She's gave me a couple of contact people so that they're local and they've been calling me. And I just said right now, that's kind of, we're working other things that are more important. So,
but I'm very glad that I did it, that we did it because
well, we saw it from two different positions.
Yes.
Lori was seeing it from an employee position. I was looking at it more from a systems position. So we it was interesting when we compared notes, but the things that stood out to each one of us.
And I appreciate your feedback that you guys both gave.
Velocity. Velocity.
Well, that's my report. Lots of things.
Do you have, if you have some highlights that you could give to Karen, that might be helpful.
About velocity?
No, about your your report.
I will.
So that she makes sure that she captures that stuff.
Okay, so I asked Susan to provide a report from Kiowa. She said that that they've just had just like all of us, they're having steady increases in patronage, and especially in the last month, it just seems like as more and more we get back to normal, People are, we're seeing more and more new faces. It's pretty incredible. And regular visiting from new faces, it's been pretty exciting, but they were seeing the same thing. She talked about the summer reading program and how, you know, they've been getting more adults actually wanting to check out books to read, as well as the kids, because kids are being, you know, escorted by their parents. She said her library card applications was 8 this past month, which us, I don't know how many we had, but it's
a lot for them.
That's a lot. I mean, when we get we probably went through a whole slew of them like 1 week, and then kind of not so much lately. But anyway, she just said that that, you know, a lot of this is a reflection on Jen's enthusiasm, North Jen's enthusiasm. She said, you know, she did a stargazing program, and in Susan's words, massive turnout, 23 people. There was 4 astronomers. They had different telescopes. They just had a great time. Now, Jen and Susan are trying to work on revamping Fridays, because Ruben ran Fridays in a different way, and now they're kind of having to revamp because it was Ruben's flavor, not their flavor. Mm-hmm. So they're trying to figure out what that looks like coming up. The garden is now flourishing again. It looks beautiful. I one of the days that I was there, I went out and weeded. I do it here. I was out here weeding like a week ago, and a lady rolls down her window and goes, "You want to come to my house?" I didn't know she was sitting in the car. I have a weird obsession about it. But it's like, this lady's just sitting in her car in the passenger seat. I didn't know anybody was in the car because of the tinting. And then she rolls, and she's probably swinging.
Now that it's rained, I might come to the, I was waiting for rain because I might be at the Elizabeth Library.
That's Jen Y. That's the North Jen. Jen Y. Yeah, so Gen Y, we call it Gen
Y. Y-A-D-I-V.
Yeah, and so anyway, but it's just, and they've now planted pumpkins, hopefully to grow enough before October.
Yeah.
So they, I don't know if they will or not, depends on our rain probably.
Do you think somebody will steal the pumpkins?
I don't know. No, they'll just take the candy.
Just keep breaking. Maybe we should just put candy in a bowl outside the door.
Take
the candy and don't break in.
Yeah. So for the similar report, first thing I'd like to do is introduce my crew, because I know you don't get to see them very often. Del, who's up my lead. Abby, who's not the lead. No, I'm just kidding. Abby is my newest employee. She just started this spring, and she is a middle school English teacher
across the
street. And so she works the evenings and Saturdays. And then Jen R is, of course, programs, and you guys,
Yeah. I've watched her little Facebook stuff, and she's done a great job.
The book reading when she's holding Willow. Oh my God, that just anyway.
I like the cat. I'm sorry.
That's true. Next we have to do peacocks. Yeah. She has a whole menagerie at her house. So anyway, we never know. But Jen, the thing I love about Jen is, you know, she does some of her work from home, some of her work from here, and you always know when Jen is working.
What day does she do her reading program?
It's different times. It's kind of, you haven't been doing them regularly. During COVID you were.
Yeah, so closed. When you refer to the reading program, we're referring to summer reading program.
No,
or
just
story time.
So story times, we do it on Tuesday afternoons, Tuesday morning to afternoon. It starts at 11:30. We picked that sweet time specifically because I partner a lot with Michaela, who's our preschool teacher over at Big Sandy. Throughout the school year, we do kind of a hybrid program. So it is very difficult for her sometimes due to limitations with her students to bring them here physically to the library. This last year, she had a student that was not able to walk. So instead of having to go through getting a wheelchair or getting a wagon to get everybody over here, this last year I went to the school directly to Big Sandy, and then one Tuesday a month I would go over, we would do story time and activities there. The reason we chose 11:30 is because we kind of have a changing of the times. We have an AM and a PM preschool. And so our AM preschool gets out at 11 o'clock, and the PM preschool doesn't go in until 12:30. So picking, choosing that 11:30 timeframe for us allows those getting out from preschool to come over. We usually have snacks, we have refreshments, we do stories and activities. And then those going into preschool can come over, get a snack, something to drink, some lemonade before they go over. So, but we do ours on Tuesdays here at the Simla branch. I should also add to that, that is also strategically because our Big Sandy schools are closed on Mondays. So we are a Tuesday through Friday school week here at Big Sandy. And so having that availability on Tuesday to be here, and parents essentially either come this direction or they're heading that direction. So
the reason I asked, I'll bring one of my varmints one of these times.
Yes, I would love to partner with that. Michaela has given us the go ahead once the school year starts. I know that we had planned that last year, and the day that we had planned it, unfortunately, it was one of those days where there was snowstorms blowing through like crazy all day long.
The one day of the whole year.
One day that we got snow last year was the day that you and I planned to go over and visit. But yes, they would love that. And their kids are always, all of the preschool kiddos that we work with are always very engaged. They love seeing visitors. So it's something that is definitely a treat for them when we get to go over.
So our patronage, as I spoke, has been going up steadily as well. And like I say, we're seeing lots of new faces and returning customers, which I love. Shakespeare, we did a Shakespeare in the Park in conjunction with UCCS. And they come here and they basically left. Oh, well, you came last
time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, this time, because I wasn't at this one this year. Mm-hmm. But they lay out a canvas and they perform on this canvas, and it's just delightful. This year, we had 30 people in attendance in the park and 200 that attended live on Facebook.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
That's that girl right there.
That's cool.
And then
it was great.
Yeah. And they did such a great job. And then and that's funded by our friends. That's our warning that it's 6:45. Time to start rounding kids up if they're here and things like that. Anyway, it was funded by our friends at the library, because it's like a $200 deal. I think, is that like $200?
They do.
Yeah.
So
they give us a reduced price.
Do you have a large Friends of the Library group?
We have we have very dedicated library group. We have like three or four people, and they're extremely dedicated.
Cool.
And so then sun gazing we did, and we had 62 people attend. Our summer reading program / story time has been well attended. And what I love is we get a wide variety of ages. It's not like we're getting the little preschoolers. We're getting, because and Jen tailors it so that that whatever she's doing, a little kid can do or a middle schooler can do, and they're all going to be happy, and they're all going to have, and the end result will be different because of maybe dexterity or whatever, but she's really good at that. And it's so funny because we even have some kids that are in summer school right now, and man, the minute they get out, they're running down here, and it kind of worked out really good because we had two Tuesdays ago, we had so many in the morning, and I mean, both tables were filled. Jen was going to town, and then the kids got out of summer school, and these kids had gotten done and were able. So we had like two shifts of story time and activities. But they come running down because they want to participate, and she always has fun activities that they enjoy doing. And you know, we hang their stuff around the library. We do, and then we put their stuff, you know, photograph it, put it on Facebook, things like that, and the kids love it.
Here's last Tuesday's squid. Yesterday's.
Yeah. Oh, the squid? Oh.
Yeah, squids.
Oh, cool.
So, and this Saturday is our ice cream social. We also have gotten a whole bunch of really cool, like STEM type based giveaways to give out. And then we'll have something that everybody will get something, even if you don't have your name drawn, because we have lots of spare toys and prizes, and so we're going to use that opportunity to kind of clear out storage to some degree. You already reported about the numbers for summer reading, which is fantastic. Zumba, and that is really a combined effort of the gens. And I'll tell you, my gen started about a year ago, right before summer reading, and had to hit the road running and completely do this thing, and she rocked it. And what I watched is Jen Y did the exact same thing. She came in and just
took the bull by the horns and just rode. Yeah. And the two of them together have really created a very strong collaborative team. And they feed off one another with different ideas. And when one has a success, the other one's like, oh, I might have to do that, you know, back and forth. And so it's a very strong collaborative team, which when Tim created this position, that was his vision. He didn't want them working in a bubble. Yeah. He wanted collaboration, and he wanted ideas, and he wanted that sharing. So it's kind of neat to see that come full circle.
I can kind of tell that, because for whatever reason, for the longest time, I wasn't getting your post. Maybe it was towards the end of the pandemic, I started seeing your post. And so I always like and share. But I mean, what I really have noticed is, like, you'll do something and then somebody from Elizabeth will go, oh, are we doing this in Elizabeth? Or Elizabeth will do, you know, they'll do something in Elizabeth and Kiowa, and they'll, oh, are we going to get that? So I think we're really lucky to have both Jens. I mean, I've just seen the stuff about you guys have been putting out, and I think it's fabulous. It looks professional. You guys are building community. And I mean, you're the key people to build community. So I just want to tell you, I appreciate you both. Well, I really do. Yeah, and I've really been noticing that. And I was like, oh, this is so cool. I love it. If I had little kids, you know, I think that would be really great, because I think about when I was a kid, the library was my place to go. And it was a little bitty library in my town. It was like the size of like your square over there. That wasn't very big, right? But it was an important place to go. And in a rural area where we don't have I'm almost feeling like, can we compete with the rec center? Because I see some of the things the rec center is doing, and I'm like, oh, you guys are doing things that are more
this was
educational and fun at the same time.
I wanted to get together with them, and it's just been such a crazy year.
But I think like this part, like, I think especially in rural areas, right? Mamas and daddies need places to help engage children and kids. And I think you guys are doing a great job of that. Yeah. So
we're very unique down here in that being so rural and in this part of the county, and kind of being that little bit of an elbow between Calhoun and Lyman. And we get patrons that come, you know, I cast a very wide net because it's important to me.
Mm-hmm.
Each year at the beginning of summer, I set KPIs for myself. Last year was teen participation. I kind of rolled that into this year as well, so that we could try and get our teen participation back up again. It's hugely impactful, especially for us, and I know it is for the other branches as well. When COVID hit and we went to a curbside status, when I came on board, like Kathy mentioned last year, I had come on board pretty much to a blank slate. There was nothing going on because of COVID and curbside. And so trying to get that participation back up, they've made me work for it last year, especially being a new face. They didn't know me. Though I have been here in Colorado for many, many years, you know, I have not been in this area. And I'm sure that Jen probably found or felt some of that this year as well. When we went curbside again this year, you know, a little piece of my heart kind of broke, because it's very, very easy for us to lose that participation. Mm-hmm. And which was my KPI that I set for myself this year, was to see a steady increase in participation online, mm-hmm. which is why you saw so much happening even while we were curbside. And I've seen that. I'm able to see the statistics on our Facebook page, who interacts with our page. We've had a steady incline of people who have liked the page or followed, 21 just this month.
That's exciting. I know. Because when I've had a Facebook page and I've been watching the statistics or trying to grow the audience, when you see it grow like that, that makes you feel better. It makes you feel like, okay, somebody's paying attention, right?
Right. And because of what we do, especially for me, and I won't speak for Jen, but I know that is likely the same in her area of the district as well. But I am the experience for our kids here. A lot of our children have to drive over an hour, or, you know, parents have to drive their children over an hour to be able to get to a museum, to be able to get to some type of an experience somewhere. Yep, absolutely. And so I take my position here for what I do very seriously, because I am that experience for our children. So if I can, you know, if I can find something that they're doing in other libraries, which being a part of a collaborative program every year is great, because we have resources for that. And it is, adding into that, like you said, we've had a lot of different people that have come this year, kids, Last year was to increase my teen participation by 3. This year we've actually had that and then some. So, you know, I look at all of those things and I show growth for what we're doing. And it's important to me because of what our status is within this community and within this county. And so, yeah, we've definitely had a lot of fun stuff happening. And I think a lot of kids nowadays are online and parents are online, and that's the way they get their notifications and know what's happening. And so that's been important to me to make sure it's out there.
I think it's really important that you both, as managers, document the key performance indicators, the KPIs you guys have been seeing or that you've set or whatever, because when we do the annual board meeting, I mean, the annual report to the commissioners next year, I want to be able to show them, right, like all the work you did in spite of, right, and how the community is really engaging in, you know, in the library and the services the library provides. So if you can just remember to jot these things down, and maybe at the end of the year, you know, what have you accomplished for each of your libraries? What have your staff accomplished? And what are your, you know, if you have numbers to go with it, I think that's going to be really good to put in the report. When we put the annual budget report together, and then we can share, right, those activities, those things that you've accomplished in that report for the commissioners to see that, you know, in spite of all that's happened in this last year, you guys have been, you know, like rocking it. So I want you guys to get the credit for that.
So to continue, we've also done Zumba in the park. When Jen and I participated, well, I don't even remember exactly what it was called, but they advertised, that's right. And it was just basically this small town idea that how can we better provide better for small town folks. And so Jen and I both participated, and what we heard from our the people in our community was that we don't have enough activities for adults, although we do, but they don't want to participate. So we just, and one of them is physical activity, because we are a fitness desert. I've even tried to talk the school into allowing you to use the gym, and they won't. And when I was a kid, that's the gym was open two nights a week for adults.
How come they won't let you use the gym? Because they have to have somebody staff it?
Liability is my guess. And now you have background checks and all that because you're around students and stuff like that. So I think it's just different. Anyway, so we did Zumba in the park, and there was a following that was created to the point now that, and a couple of the regulars were from the fire station, and they want to continue in the fire station bay because of the air conditioned and heated.
Oh.
And it's Jen's sister-in-law that does the actual teaching, and she's like, and I get a workout. So it looks like, and I told her maybe do it by donations moving forward. So, you know, she gets her gas covered or something, but we're excited that that is possibly going to be a continued thing in our community. We do Friday night movies. That's why you've seen us. We had to pay $600 or something, $640 for Swank, but it's really, we've just used it and used it. As you can see, we have a screen up here. This comes down, and we black out all the windows, and we show movies on this big screen in here. And so we get popcorn and lemonade every time. We also we had that really, really super hot week a couple weeks ago, and we ran movies every afternoon in here so families could come in and get out of the heat if they didn't have air conditioning at home, and we had popcorn and lemonade and things like that. And that was kind of a spur of the moment, and so it was kind of a hit or miss, but we had one day that was just one little girl. She picked out her movie. Del set her up with one of these cushy chairs, right? And she had her foot up on the ottoman and a big bowl of popcorn and watched that.
I hope you got a picture.
Oh, I didn't. I'm terrible about pictures. It was adorable. And but she's one of them that she's raised by her grandparents. Her grandfather brings her in all the time.
Cool.
And so our Witty Knitters group is flourishing. They have grown. I think they've increased by 3 members in the last little while. And they really... they are self-facilitating, and
they are so welcoming that once somebody comes, it's really hard for them not to continue to come, because these ladies, and it's a highlight of my Monday, yeah, having my wedding knitters in here. And so Mondays are rocking, Tuesdays are rocking. You know, I always tell people a loud library is my goal. You know, I'm not the librarian. I want a loud library, because that means people are engaged, they're interacting. It's, you know, it's lively and fun. Also, one of the things that I've been hearing pretty consistently from our adult patrons that come in is they feel very welcome here, and that they always look forward to coming in the door because they're greeted with a smile, a willingness to help. From a leadership standpoint, I love when I'm sitting in my office and I watch somebody come in the door and I don't know them, but they walk in and they say, "Hi, Del." And they, you know, but they know Del by his first name. Then they sit down on the little chair on the bar stool, and they'll chat for a few minutes, and then they go off and browse, or, you know, he'll help them with whatever they need. That is the epitome of an amazing team that works for you, because
it's too bad we don't have a coffee bar.
No, Abby is gradually getting there too, because, you know, when you're new, it takes a while and she's also kind of on the downside of the day, but the kids all know her. I love it, because as a school teacher, the kids all know her. And I love it when she tells them, she'll say, "You forgot to say please." or "You need to say it this way," and she'll correct. I love it. I sit back and I think it's hilarious. But anyway, but what I do love is that I'm hearing, whether I'm in the thrift store dropping off a flyer or somewhere else in town, or just I had somebody today tell me, "Kathy, I come to this library every day because you're here," or, you know, "every time because you're here, and it's different because it's changed since you've been here." And I was quite flattered. Several weeks ago, we spent some time and we weeded, which means we're taking items off the shelves, because we had, like, our DVD section, we couldn't even put things away. And plus, when you have too much, people don't see anything. And so we weeded DVDs, children's picture books, board books, juvenile fiction, and some of nonfiction. I haven't finished nonfiction. But because of that, between Jen's advertising on Facebook and Dell's merchandising, this all goes into our friends' donations. They've sold $110 worth of books in the last few weeks. Oh. I mean, which is pretty remarkable around here. And the last but not least thing is another fun thing that we're doing this week is Jen is hosting a escape room for our tweens and teens.
Oh, cool.
That cool. will be super cool on top of the other stuff. So that's the end of my report. But
awesome. Thank you for sharing.
I can send you those. I can send you those documents if you want to pick up certain pointers or something.
If you just want to give her highlights so she can have them for the.
Sure.
That way, it was a lot.
It's
easier. You can just highlight the things versus. Okay. Retention pond status.
Well, I wish that I had better news for you. As some of you are, or most of you are aware, we discovered that there is a retention pond on the Elizabeth site, and that it clearly is what the lawyers call an attractive nuisance, where it potentially could fill up with water. Kids can't resist that. Being an ex-teacher myself, we know what draws them in. But the problem with it is there's really no egress. So you can't get out of it if you're in it. And if you're a poor swimmer, you would be in terrible trouble. So we checked with the insurance, and we checked with the town of Elizabeth. And what we found is that we're really just kind of hanging out there, and have been for years. So then we decided, okay, well, we're going to go ahead and take care of this. It was very difficult to get them to the town of Elizabeth, who is the, you know, the one that does code enforcement on that property, because they outsource everything. And because they're in a state of flux trying to grow, They couldn't find plans for us. Nobody could tell us what kind of fence was necessary, et cetera. We finally went back through the insurance and they, you know, we came up with the notion that it had to be at least a 6-foot chain link fence with signage. Our policy is when we are doing this build out and things, we need to get local people. It's the local taxpayers that are funding us. And if there are fencing contractors, et cetera, it took a monumental effort to find three companies that would actually give us a bid on chain link fence. There were other people that were perfectly willing to build a wooden fence or a wire fence, but chain link is the requirement. So we've secured three that are supposed to get us bids, and we can't get them to respond.
Okay, I did finally get two responses.
Oh, you did? All right. Thank you, Alan.
They're not good, though.
I got a question.
Yeah.
The grade of fence you're talking about. I actually put a chain link fence around the two water tanks in Cribble Creek. Contracted out to a Murphy contract, and I lost it. I didn't make any money on it. But so if you use a very heavy grade, I'm just curious about what the grade.
We're looking for a standard 12 or 16 gauge wire with, you know, galvanized posts. And the problem is, okay. Of the three contractors we contacted, third one has never, ever answered back. One immediately decided that they couldn't deal with chain link, mostly because it is hard to find right now. And then the last one I got in touch with today, and he also basically explained to me that chain link is at a premium to get, and he decided it was a project he couldn't do by himself and could not hire extra employees. So we are back to zero. And what I think Robert and I have decided is we're going to have to go to a fencing contractor like Standard Fence or whatever, which is over in off of Santa Fe Drive in Littleton or whatever to get a contractor to be able to do it.
I would suggest you try Taylor Fence and Academy Fence in Colorado Springs also. I was building fence for a living. So.
I used to do handyman fencing projects. And
how many linear feet is this?
It's about 210, 220 linear feet.
Total.
But it's not in a rectangular shape. It's kind of a, it's going to be more or less, because the pond is basically a kidney shaped deal, and there is a to get around it, you're going to have a couple of angles besides one square corner.
It would also be this is the one thing that I used to do in construction and I also was a teacher. But in the construction world, you generally go out and you talk to whoever does code enforcement, and you say, okay, give me this. And you have to also talk to whoever is supposed to provide emergency services. Because if you do have a drowning victim, or something like that, you're going to call 911 and they're going to send the fire department. They absolutely were of no help to us whatsoever. They couldn't even tell us what width of a gate to put.
We decided 4 foot because we figured 4 foot, you open it up, a guy with a pack on it or a gurney, a stretcher, could go through a 4 foot gate.
So you'd have to have that custom made.
Exactly. Everything, it's
standard gates are put there 36 inches.
Yeah. Well, the problem is to secure it in the center. Because you end up having to have a meeting pole that has to go to a hole in the center that has to be.
Sorry, we're talking stuff that's outside the scope of this, but if you have two strong posts, they're supported by the rest of the fence, hang two gates off of that, they'll meet in the center. They don't need to have a center post. It's like a drive wood end chain link. You don't have that. The question is making sure that when you put the chain together, the hole together, that there's not enough slack for people to squeeze through.
The only easy thing of this whole project, I found I could get metal signs made over at the business center, but that's been the only easy part of the deal so far. So
we're going to get aggressive starting this week. I mean, we've got to get it done. I mean, we've had a couple pretty heavy rains, and that thing can fill up. And nothing is worth the life of a child.
It's got about 12 inches of water in the center of it right now.
Maybe we can talk offline because that's I used to kick out a job like that in no time with cedar posts and all that stuff. I planted 50 cedar posts in one day one time. It's not a big deal. If I can talk to you guys, maybe take a look at it. Yeah. You know.
Well, we need to go around and 8 foot on center posts and drill them and then put the posts with concrete. And then hang the wire with the metal rod at the top. I mean, that would be a standard chain link fence.
Sure that it's upside down so that the sharp edges of it.
Yeah.
The chain link's upside down so the sharp edges are at the top.
Right.
It's pretty straightforward. Just being on the size of gauge and then stretching it, come along and just stretch it. You know, it's 6 foot, it's all basic. The question is getting materials and what's, you know, gauge.
That's the problem, and it's. Because I checked at Home Depot and Lowe's, and you go to one of those places one day, they'll have a couple of rolls. You go the next day, they have nothing. So it's very frustrating. And that's why I think we're going to have to go to somebody like Standard Fence or whatever that has
material and stuff.
Semi-loads of stuff that they can come out with a crew of two or three guys, a post hole digger. They'll drill and set poles one day, and they'll come back next 2 days, stretch fence.
Exactly, that's how it's done.
If you can do that, and then if you need to get the board together to vote on the cost, then just let us know. We can have a special session to do that.
Well, we're going to make a couple of calls tomorrow.
Or the next meeting, we have that workshop, the building expansion workshop on the 19th.
I want to get a commitment from somebody
before then. I mean, this has been hanging out there too.
I would suggest calling Colorado Springs.
Okay, the Taylor Fence. And what was the other one?
Sure.
What was the other one?
The guys, Taylor Fence and Academy Fence. Those are the big guys. And I still think they're still big, but you know, if they're in the front, well, I don't know.
Okay.
So. I'm kind of adding this to the retention pond status update.
Mm-hmm.
But because Robert called the insurance company.
Yeah, that sets off all kinds of bells and whistles.
You want to talk about this?
Yes. Because I called our insurer who was had to look real hard to find even where we are. But at any rate, that the pool of insurance, CBIZ Valuation Group, as it turns out, when you call and you ask about a problem like this, it sets certain things in going. And all of a sudden, unbeknownst to us, on June the 14th, they came out and inspected all of our libraries, took pictures, drove around. And as it turns out, then, they gave us a nice little note the other day that said that we were 28% underinsured. Now, that's an estimate, of course. But Alan and I have discussed this. Because of the growth in the Elizabeth area in particular, you can, the price of everything is just skyrocketing. So even, you know, to if you had some damage to the building, and we had not made any improvements, it's likely the most they could come up with would be 25% short of what the valuation of the building would be. So we are going to have to suck it up and, you know, get more insurance. Now, I think it requires some active part on the board's part to go around and try and get some more information, so we're not just saying to this one insurer, yeah, we'll buy another. You said 28%, so let's go ahead and use that figure. I think we owe it to the taxpayers to do a little homework to make sure that that's a reasonable request.
We have 10 days to respond to this.
Yeah.
So does that mean we should look at other insurance companies and cancel this policy?
Is that what you're saying, that we should just do a...
These guys are a bargain, from what I understand.
Yeah.
And they're reputable, but the problem is, you just don't take the first number and just go on, you know, an unannounced, you know, where they're out there in the yard with a camera.
Do we go ahead and say, okay, yes on this, and then we go out and we get some estimates for insurance?
Is
that what you're saying?
Pretty much. That I, if anything, this may even be a little low.
Okay.
What's the name of the company?
CBiz Valuation Group LLC.
Colorado. It's the
Colorado.
That was the people who did the valuation, but it came from. Does it have it in?
It's the trust
special,
pool.
It's a special district. Cool. It's,
oh, okay. It's the insurance pool for the state.
That's why it's a DL, because collective.
Right.
So at any rate, that's an
I can send you the name, or Robert can send you the name, or the.
Yeah, I have it. I can get it on here
at the house, but I don't. Oh, it's the Colorado Special District Risk Pool.
Risk.
And this valuation was done by CBiz Valuation Group.
Right. Who does all of their things?
So.
At any rate, that is an expense we're going to have to incur.
Any questions or comments about this from the board members before we vote on?
Other than the fact that we're going to have to deal with this in the next couple of days.
So we need to vote on whether to just go forward with that increase.
I think, yeah, I just want to make sure that we've discussed it as a board and that we take a vote on it, that either we all agree that we go forward.
Do we have a pad in the insurance budget, in our budget, to be able to pick up this premium increase, because there's probably.
Did they give a number to that increase?
Yeah, we have plenty of room. We may have to move money from one place to another, but yeah, we've got.
Yeah, we'll be.
We've
able
got the
to cover.
Funds to do it.
How much?
Well, I don't have the paperwork in front of me to show exactly what we're paying the pool now, but it, again, in comparison to.
Yeah.
Other insurance premiums, et cetera, it looked very reasonable to me, and I just don't want to throw a number out there that's fine.
I just printed out the attachment. I don't know if
that is interesting that they just jump right on the assessment of the branches.
Well, I think they have to.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're an insurance pool and you have a market that is just like this to the sky, and a 2x4 costs you $10, you know, they're going to look.
Elizabeth Library was always the only place that had a deficiency because of the pond.
Oh, okay.
And it was everything else. Well, and evaluation of the building, but Kiowa and here. This here we're not. This is a rental building, so our it's a different kind of a situation.
It's pretty cut and dried in Kiowa.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, what can we do? I mean,
we don't have much choice.
And now they're saying, hey, you're underinsured, so.
You don't want to be underinsured. I mean, we just had two break-ins at the Kiowa Library. What if we had a library burned down? Or what if we had, you know, right. God forbid. I mean.
Well, it sounds like you need to just go with it. If this is a deadline factor here. Will they cancel it if we miss this deadline?
We'll be underinsured.
Well, we'll just be underinsured. It's like I say, let's say you had a catastrophic event, the building is down, and then they cut you a check that's 28% less than the value of the building. You
and we can't rebuild the library, then we would have an issue, right?
Yeah, definitely.
So I think we somebody make a motion that we go forward with this, and then we can table for discussion next month if you want to, like just getting, I mean, or even, you know, I could go look out there, have Mary Ellen go look about estimates for
other. Yeah, I was going to say, I need to talk to Mary Ellen about this.
I make a motion that we go forward with an increase evaluation for insurance to get us covered as quickly as possible.
It's a pool, so we're going to have to include the Kiowa.
Well, it's our
library district.
It's a library district insurance policy. Yeah. So the motion would have to be, it is to evaluate and increase the library district insurance policy to be adequate coverage.
Present costs.
At present costs. I think there's a better wording for it, but I don't see it.
I second that. We'll look at that.
Can we just say it? Can we word it like this? To accept the insurance valuation report of tangible property assets for the Albert County Library District, right?
As needing an increase.
As needing an increase as of June 14th, 2022.
Okay, so the motion is to accept accept the
so you know the name
evaluation for the risk management, the valuation of tangible property assets for the Albert County Library District as of June 14th.
Okay, it's on there. It's right there.
On the recording, because I sure haven't written it down.
It's right there on the front.
His whole statement.
Yes.
Well, his motion is right there on the front.
I read that deal there. So
right there, that where it says right there on the front where it says
an insurance valuation for potential property assets.
Yes, that's what he just said.
Yes.
There you go.
That's his motion.
And Robert seconds it.
Yes,
and Robert seconds it.
Motion. I did that.
All right.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Carries. Motion carries. Okay. The next is the building expansion update. I just wanted to give a reminder that we have a working meeting on August 19th from 2 to 4 to talk about the building expansion. We need to be thinking about a needs analysis for the expansion. I think in the workshop that we have, we need to, if we can, be prepared to potentially talk about either, you know, getting three invoices or three proposals for a needs analysis so that we could potentially, the goal would be to potentially contract the needs analysis before the end of the year.
I would like to encourage everybody. Did anybody watch Sunday morning CBS this week with the library piece that they had and what libraries of the future should be?
It was the morning show.
And I can send that link out. If that was one of the things I was going to put on my, but I'm locked out of the library mail system. So at any rate, I'll try and get that out. And if you get a chance to see it, we want people thinking about what the future looks like in libraries. It can't just be static and it can't be in the past. It has to be something that stays with, you know, modern progress and, you know, what our needs are. You know, as you guys have so wonderfully pointed out, libraries will continue to be a central figure in society growing up as long as we provide. If we don't provide that anymore, or if we cut back, then we can't take all of these wonderful people that have all these fantastic ideas and give them that sort of social nucleus that it takes to advance. So I'll send that out, and if anybody has any ideas or anything else that they'd like to chat, please get in touch with me.
Any other comments?